experienced the dilemma that my daughter was in. I have sort of a quite a deep, far-reaching intellectual approach to Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat that we learned last week. Now, last week we learned the text of Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. We also went through at least half of the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni on it. So then I was thinking of, should I or should I not do this major exposition? And I decided that since we will see that chapters 93 and 94, Hashem Moloch Geyut Labesh and Keil Nekamot Hashem, are really going to continue the theme that begins in Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat. So what I have chosen to do is to go through the text of the next two Pirkei Tehillim, because they will turn out to be a unit of three. 93, 94 will be one unit that deals essentially with one problem, but there are a lot of ideas that emerge from it. And then hopefully next week, do this major approach, which is based on a really profound essay of Rav Budna Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, which I would like to do with you. So, that's the way we're planning it right now. So we're going to do chapters 93 and 94 today, and we'll see how they relate to the theme of chapter 32. And most probably when it comes down to it, what we're really going to have to explain is the one thing that we gave some answers, but really not, we gave the Medrash Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. That's really going to be the problem that we have to come to a resolution. Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos is the only chapter in Tehillim that has a title to it, and there's not a single word in the chapter that relates to the title. Nothing in it about Shabbos. Nothing in it that seems to be remotely related to Shabbos. So we gave the answers. That's why I learned the Medrash with you. That the Odom HaRishon meets up with Cain, and he asks Cain, well, what has happened with your case before God? And he tells him, I did tshuva and I was forgiven. I made a deal. There was a plea bargain between me and God. Adam HaRishon, all of a sudden, he began to, in a sense, to tremble. I didn't know how great tshuva is. So he said, Mizmor Shir LeYom Shabbos. It would seem that he found out late Friday or early Shabbos, he found out the greatness of tshuva, so he said Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. Obviously the Medrash is also interpreting the word Shabbos from returning or going back, or stopping to do Averis. Well, of course the Radak, and we pointed out the Radak said that Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos talks about the major theme, which is of course the existence of evil in the world, and that this was the kind of thing that people had time on Shabbos to deal with it. But that's we have to go a few giant steps further. So that's the issue that we're going to come back to. What's the relationship between the chapter and Yom HaShabbos? Meanwhile, let's see the Chapter 39. Hashem Malach. What's happening? You certainly did understand. Hashem Malach. And by the way, of course, whenever we say Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos in davening, except once, we always say Hashem Malach with it. Friday night, after Lechadodi, We say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, and after Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, chapter 93. Shabbos in the morning after Baruch Shamah, I don't swear, I think that's it's after Baruch Shamah, you say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, and you say Hashem Molo Geyud Labesh. After davening Shachris Shabbos in the morning, when we say Hayom Yom Shabbat Shabbo Hoyu Halavim Omdin Beit HaMikdash, we only say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, we don't say Hashem Molo. But so that means that in a sense, the rabbis who composed prayer understood that these two chapters are like twins, they go together. Hashem Malach. Now, one general idea that has to be expressed is the past tense and future tense can be used to describe something that is ongoing. So you never should get hung up about the fact, or even though Hashem, Moloch, God was king, Geut Lavesh, he clothed himself in grandeur. Past and future are often used in Tanakh to describe something that's ongoing. And in a sense, by using past and future, you are really telling us that this is something that finds itself always between past and future. Hashem Malach, God was king. What it's talking about is really, this is a continuation of his creation of the world. He ascended the throne. He became king. I would say, you know when he becomes king really? He becomes king really not on the first day of creation, but on Friday and Shabbos. Why? Because man is created on Friday. Ein Melech b'li'am. There is no such thing as a king without a people, without a nation. With the creation of man, God becomes king. Hashem Malach. We once, Adon Olam, Asher Malach, B'terem Kol, Yitzir Nivra, Le'et Nasa, B'chetzo Kol, Adai Melech, Shimon Nivra. Let's go over that again. Adon Olam, the master of the world, Asher Malach, who was king, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before any creature was created. Really? Doesn't that seem to be a contradiction to what we're saying? I said that God doesn't become king until there are people. But it goes on. Adon Olam Asher Malach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra Le'et Na'asa, at the time that it was done, B'chetzo Kol, his will accomplished all that he wanted to accomplish, he completed creation. Outside then, Melech Shimon Nivra, and you can call him Melech. You call him Melech at the end of creation. So you know what we're saying in Adon Olam? This is great, you're learning Adon Olam. So Adon Olam is saying, Adon Olam is really saying that, you know when God became king? When he finished creating everything. It means man, and by Yechulu Hashamayim V'Haaretz V'Chol Tzvav. When everything was finished, the Chetzo Kol, Avai, then Melech Shimon Nivra. Oh, this is beautiful. This is great. That's what the pasuk means. Hashem Malach. And therefore, the Hashem Malach is following the Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos because it's saying that when all of creation was completed, then he's called king. And Geut Lavesh, he clothed himself in. This we've talked about in the past, and we'll see it many more times. Clothing is the metaphor, the term that's used to describe either a mood or a mode or or the way in which somebody presents himself. Here we are talking about God. Clothes not only make the man, it says clothes in a sense make God. He clothes himself with geut. Geut is great pride and honor. Lavesh Hashem, God has clothed himself with Oz his Azar, he girded himself with strength. Now, just notice that we will begin to point this out from time to time. There is a certain rhythm and a beat. This is poetry, and the poetry also has rhythm and beat to it. And over here, you'll notice there are the phrases are two worders: Hashem Moloch, Geyut Lavesh, Lavesh Hashem Oz Itazar. And then from time to time there will be a three. But the fact is, even the end of this passage is also with twos: Ap Tikon, or Ap Tikon Kevel, Ap Tikon being one word. Or Baltimot at the end is also one word. It may be Aptikon Tevel, two, Tevel Baltimot. What do these words mean? He established the world. Aptikon Tevel. He established the world, and he established it in a way that Baltimot, it's not going to shake, it's not going to fall apart, it's not going to slide into oblivion. The Malbim makes a very beautiful, beautiful exposition here. Malbim says the following, and this is a theme of his that's going to continue into many of the chapters that are going to come. God acts in two ways in the world. There is nature, and there is ness, nature and miracle. He says what's amazing is Geyut Lavesh. When we say God is king and he clothes himself with Geyut, what it means is that there are times at which he expresses himself in the supernatural, in the unique, the unusual ness. Where do we have the word Geyut? By Kriyat Yamsuf. Os Yoshe Moshe Bnei Yisrael Hashir Agavim Oshiro Hashem Ki Go'o Go'o. God clothing himself in Geyut. Let's see. Huh? Is that the word they use? Well, I'm going to check it. Well, they use grandeur, but they're okay. He will have donned grandeur or majesty. The grandeur and majesty of God is only seen or perceived by man when he does something out of the ordinary, the unusual, the miraculous. How many of us are able to walk around during the course of the day and see a tree and become all excited about it, or hear birds chirping and, boy, Morabu Masef Hashem, how wonderful are your deeds, O God. Though we are supposed to, we say it in davening three times a day, that we should thank God, Al Nisecha Val Mitlotecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. But that's not the way we are. We see or we respond and we react to the unusual. God acts in two ways. One is Geut Lavesh, and the other is Oz Hitazar. You know what Oz is? Oz is strength and might. Strength and might, the Malbim says, represents God having created, and that creation continuing to exist on from day to day. That's strength. He says, in truth, nature is greater than miracle. Because nature is constant and ongoing, and miracle is only for a brief period of time. In other words, miracle he describes as temporary nature. A miracle, the Malbim calls teva agai. It's just nature for a brief period of time. Whereas nature, as nature, continues forever. God said that the world will continue on forever, day and night, the seasons. This is what he told Noah. What does it mean after he come that he established Tevel Baltimot and it won't fall apart? He gives the example of a machine. He uses the word machine. I don't think they had another
They didn't have a machona. I remember my father, Shalom, used to refer to that as an automobile was called a machine. Yes. Right? Didn't that they call it in Yiddish a machine?
Yes. Right.
So imagine all of the parts in the machine are working. What happens if somebody is going to literally put a monkey wrench in the works? And he's going to stop one of the parts that's moving, he's going to stop. What's going to happen with the rest of the machine?
It's not going to work.
It's all going to stop. God can suspend the laws of nature at a particular moment in time. And you know what? The rest of the machine keeps working. He can change nature at Yom Tov. He can have the sun stop and the moon stay in place. That's really a monkey wrench into Teva. And you know what? Teva continues to work. So he says, that's the traveling process. God is Geut Lavesh. He dons himself in the majesty and grandeur of miracle, but at the same time, Oz Hit Azar. He's also cloaked with the strength that's represented by ongoing nature. And even when he brings miracle, it does not interrupt the ongoing nature of nature. He's constantly in control. Av Tikkun Tevel, he established the world, Bal Timot, and it doesn't move. Yes? Yes?
Birth of a normal, healthy baby.
Miracle. Except for the fact that it's a miracle that. So this, many of us would say that the difference between nature and miracle is. Nature is a miracle that we become accustomed to. We've grown accustomed to the miracle, but it's of course all miraculous. Of course the birth of a healthy child is an unbelievable miracle. But it's ongoing. So we're not impressed by it anymore. It's a terrible thing. We become used to so many things. We take so many things for granted. It's a terrible tragedy of the human being. We take people for granted. We take gifts of God for granted. We take our health for granted. We take so much for granted. Like we just assume that everything is going to be tomorrow the way it was today. Nachon kisacha me'az. Your throne has been established from there, from the very beginning, from the time of before creation. Me'olam ata. You are always. You are eternal. But you know what happened? At one point, Nosu Naharot Hashem. The rivers lifted themselves. They raised Nosu. What did they lift? Nosu Naharot Kolam, the rivers lifted their voices. Yisu Naharot Dachyam, the rivers lifted Dachyam. Word that appears only once in Tanakh, and that's here. The word Dachyom is explained by the Mefarshim as meaning the sound of waves breaking against the shore, against cliffs, against rocks. Tremendous energy, tremendous noise. And this is going to be a metaphor for something else. What it's referring to in its pshat is, here was the world. What does it say about creation? The world was full of water until God said, "Ye kavu hamayim, let all the waters be gathered to one place, and the dry land shall be seen." It means here's the awesome force of water that is being put literally in its place. And David, or Moshe, is describing it as though there's the great struggle between the mighty waters. And then God is the one that tells them precisely where to be. Mikolot Mayim Rabbi, what is it? We hear the voice, the sound of Mayim Rabbi, great many waters, Abdidim that are mighty, Mishbereyam, the water breaking, the sea water as it breaks against the shore. But there's one who is more Adir than them all. The mightiest one of them all is Adir Bamaram Hashem. The one on high, Hashem, is the mightiest one of all. Then the Mefarshim explained that what we're talking about over here, the waters, the waters are a metaphor for the might and the sounds of evil in the world. And they rise up in a sense to destroy the world. And we know, of course, that evil can conceivably destroy the world. Well, the waters, the raging waters of the sea are getting ready to destroy everything in its path. When we talk about the Mayim Rabim, you have to imagine a tidal wave, great waters. The great waters are the forces of evil in this world that want to destroy. She can do no evil. But the one who's mightier than them all is God. And just as he took the waters and put them in their place, there will ultimately come the time when God is going to destroy evil. Wasn't that the theme of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? In Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, we talked about the Troach Rishoyim, the Rishoyim blossom. They're all over the place. And what did it say over there? If you take a look in Pasuk 9 in the chapter before, in Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, what is the response to evil? Pasuk 8 said that the Rishoyim, the evil, are popping out all over. They're sprouting. What does Pasuk 9 say? Ba'amadom, you rise above them. Isn't that what he's saying over here? Adir Ba'amadom, Hashem, God on high, is mightier than them all. And then the chapter before, we talked about Kehinei Oyevech Hashem, your enemies, Oyevech Oyevedu, your enemies will be destroyed, Yitpordu Kol Po'aleyot, and all those who do evil shall be torn or taken apart. Remember the two words, Po'aleyot, those who do evil. Anyway, the end of 93. The end of 93, Eidotecha Nenu Ma'od. Eidotecha meaning your Torah, your mitzvahs, the promises that were given by your prophets, all of the guarantees that you've given for the future, because what emerges from chapter 92 is also the idea that we have to believe, even though we don't see it with our own eyes, we have to believe that evil will ultimately be destroyed. Evil will be destroyed. And Tzadik Kapama Yifrach. We say, Eidotecha, the testimonies of your prophets and the mitzvahs of your Torah and the promises that you've given to us, Ne'emnu Mi'od, are very trustworthy. We trust them. Lebecha Nava Kodesh. When we will have that holy dwelling place of yours, Hashem, you will continue on La'orech Yomim. For length of days, we talked about the redemption being La'olam, forever. And in a world where God is forever, God and evil cannot exist together forever. Which means the time is going to come when the mighty, raging, destructive waters are going to be silenced. And the waters, as I say, is a metaphor for the power of evil that just erupts from the world. In a sense, what we're talking about also is, and this we alluded to last week, that Shabbos is not only the Yom HaShabbos of creation, the seventh day of the week, but Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Mizmor Shir Liyom Shekula Utau Umenucho L'chayei Olam, we say that in Davening on Shabbos, which means that Shabbos represents not only the seventh day of the week, but also a period and an epoch in history when there's going to be peace for the whole world. Peace in the whole world is only going to be achieved by the absolute and total destruction of evil. Yes? What happens with
freedom?
Because at that point in history already, people will choose good. But you know what? I'm going to leave that to Rabbi Gordon. Let him describe the Messianic era and what's going to happen there. That's what they call passing by. And I succeeded. I did. I got away with it. Yes?
What's the implication of the Crusade
Apocalypse? I have the feeling that the Crusade represents the idea that the only one who's permanent in this world is God. Evil is not permanent. Sitting down on a throne represents something that's enduring and abiding. The great waves are something that come and then will go. And evil will come and it's going to go. The theme of evil is that which becomes the main theme of chapter 94. We're moving along. And here there are extremely important ideas that are going to be expressed just by the text. Chapter 94 is the chapter that we say when? If you didn't say it today yet, then you can say before we start learning 94, Hayom Yom Rivii B'Shabbos, today is the fourth day of the week, Shebo Haru Haladim Omim Mibet Hamidah. The Levim, the Bet Hamidah, used to say this, Kael Nekamot Hashem, Kael Nekamot Hophia. Ah. This is one of those words that I think is not always understood. Kael Nekamot, God is a God of vengeance. You know, the idea of vengeance or revenge, sort of, you mean, I'm not disagreeing with the Pasuk in Torah. But we're talking about revenge against evil.
Yes.
He doesn't know what happened on September 11th. Everything changed. What are you talking about? Kill him. Did you know what the Gemara says on this passage? Gedol hanekama, great is vengeance. Shenitma ben shtei otiyot, because it appears between two of God's names. Kill nekamot Hashem. Kill nekamot Ophir. The word Nekama is surrounded by God's name on both sides. Gedol Nekama, so the man is after brothers. So obviously he must have been talking about there's no disagreement. The staff of this college is thinks alike. We're clunks. Kael Nekamot Hashem, Kael Nekamot Hophia. I saw a beautiful thought from the Chanchon of Bohosh. He does this often. He tries to find the root of a word. He says, we would understand it. He says, the word Nekama expresses the same idea as Tikuna, establishing. You know that big television series, Tikuna, about the establishment of the State of Israel? The destruction of evil is that which brings a world to Tikuna. A world can stand up tall and proud only when there is Nekama taken from the evil. So the word Nekama of Shamsun Bohar says has its source in the positive idea of standing up. Come, Pitom, come Adam. Man stands up, stands tall. God, by virtue of the fact that he takes the color, you know, what I wanted to say was that we're not so queasy about it. You know, God, the God of vengeance, and we see sort of his nose blowing hot smoke out. The comet is an extremely important and significant aspect of history. The destruction of evil. What, the destruction of Nazi Germany wasn't the comet? But it was only that that was able to stand the world back up again upon its feet. Yes.
So whenever there's a new settlement that's built where somebody is killed, it's the same idea. The Jew is killed, they build right there in the settlement.
Is this a political commentary over here?
It's a statement of fact.
I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the parent, but I certainly would agree with that. I would certainly agree with that, but that's all. Well, you know, what we built till 67 on land till 67, that was good. Everything afterwards. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Now, there's another thing I've mentioned in the last few weeks, and we're going to keep harping on it. There are words, and there are terms, and there are ideas that appear in these chapters that also appear in Parshiyot Ha'azinu and Zav Habraha. The idea of Nekama, Makom Hashem Mitzavah, the end of Shira Ha'azinu. Anybody have a Tanakh? I should never sit up here without a Tanakh.
Oh,
I don't have to prove my right wing inclinations. I mean, that's I've proved myself. I think it's a great idea, but we're learning a chapter in Tehillim. Okay, is that all right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's political. I think
it's exactly what you said. Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, okay. Here it says in Hazinu, Lina kom v'shilein. To me, the Lord's vengeance, God says.
Vengeance is mine.
Huh?
Vengeance is mine.
Le'eit tamut v'adlam. And that's going to come at the time that the feet of evil is going to fall. Tamut. Isn't tamut over there with a test at the end from the word that we had in the chapter before? Atikon tezel dal timot. So God says, Nina Kongishilame, Tikarov Yom Edom, the day of their calamity, the day of their Nakba is close. The Chosh Atida Udlamo, God is going to hasten it. Ki Yodin Hashem Amo, God is going to judge his people, Vala Babab Yitnecham, he will have mercy upon his servants. And then, of course, the end is the end. Of Shira Chazinu is Ashkir Chitzai Midam V'Harbi Tokal Basar. My arrows are going to be full of blood, and my sword is going to destroy Hadeninu Goyim Amo. Nations of the world be full of joy with his people, Kidam Avod of Yachon, because God is going to revenge. God is going to take revenge for the blood of his servants. By the way, the word yikom sounds very much like, yes, standing them up again. The nakom yoshev l'tzara, and to his oppressors he's going to return with vengeance. The chiter ad matol amo, and the earth, the land, is going to be the source of forgiveness for his people. So we don't get tripped up about the idea of revenge. Revenge is an we once said it in the Chumash from my oldest brother all of a sudden. So says people make it parallel and say these were the days, you know, there were all sorts of raids by Israeli soldiers into Lebanon here and there, and Time magazine, Kedal Kovar Kodesh, would also always have some kind of an article saying that with Old Testament vengeance and fury, with Old Testament eye for an eye, Israeli troops did such and such. They said we have to know that there's a very clear distinction and a definition between in the English words revenge and retaliation. Revenge is, if you beat me up, I go beat up your little boy. That's revenge. But if you beat me up and I beat you up back, that's retaliating. If I strike at the source of evil, if I strike at the one who endangers me, that's not Old Testament vengeance, that's not an eye for an eye, that's not even revenge, that's retaliation. And that's 100% justified. And anybody who doesn't retaliate is making a terrible mistake. And that wasn't a political statement. And what we've done now, what Shantan Rav has done, has taken the word Nekama and given it a completely different flavor, a whole new texture. It's not the destruction of the enemies as much as the fact that it's now going to give the world the opportunity to stand up straight and stand tall. Americans are not standing tall, you should know. I mean, I get reports. I met with a rabbi from New York yesterday or 2 days ago, who's in a leadership position in the United States. He says it's a schedule. Isn't Rabbi Adler off in the United States giving chizuk over there? I mean, this is the contribution of the Jerusalem College for Adults to American Jewry that we permitted Rabbi Adler to go and give them chizuk. We're talking about a people in Yiddish. It would sound it comes off better in Yiddish. When a person sort of is broken or finding as gefallen by sich, you know the term, he feels fallen. Nekama is a form of tekuma. That's what it brings to. So Rav Shamshon Farish has simply given a whole slant to the idea of nekama. The word hofia, beginning of Zohar Bracha, I'm on the same page. Vayomer, Moshe Rabbeinu says at the beginning of Zohar Bracha, Hashem is Sinai, for God has come from Sinai, Vizorach, Misei Olam, Hofia, may have harm. Hofia means how God presents himself to the eyes of the world. When he's caring to come out, then he is a phenomenon that the world wants to look at. Kill me, come out, Hashem, kill me, come out, Hofia. He now say, rise, showcase hardest. The one who judges the world, Hashem Gemur Ogeid. The word Gemur is terribly important. Hashem Gemur Ogeid is also an interpretation or a modification or a way of understanding the word Nekama. Hashem Gemur always means, and it can be either good or bad. When I repay somebody for something that they've done, that's Gemur. Oshida, the end of Hodu and Davening, Oshida Ola Hashem Ki Gomal Olai, that he repaid me what I had done that was good. Fayyad Roshid says that I could invoke Yoshiv Lo Gemulo Gerosho. What he did is return to him. Gemul always means a response, a reaction to that which was done. Hashem Gemul, return, what they've earned. Gemul is something that somebody said, al geim, against the wicked. Here the geim who stand up against God, who is the geir. These are the evil. Admar Zayvishah. Now this is a cry that comes from probably from the neshama of Olokar Yisrael, or a major part of the world. How long? Admar Zayvishayim Hashem, God, how long? By the way, you will notice, of course, and this is part of the Masorah. You see a line between the word Rishayim and the word Hashem? Lena, can you see it? Do they have it in your little film over there? There's got to be a line there.
get a refund on that Tehillim?
I do that if one is going to get
it. Okay. So you shouldn't read Yeshayim and Hashem together. At Matai Yeshayim, how long Yeshayim? And the one who's asking it, Moshe who's asking it, is Hashem, how long at Matai Yeshayim? At Matai Yeshayim Yalosu, how long will the evil be full of joy? Yabiyu means to express. But the word Yabiyu to express, like Haba'ah Biktav means how one expresses himself in writing, or Haba'ah Be'al Peh, we're teaching you Hebrew also. Yabiyu is a word that comes from flowing water, a brook, a spring, or a river that's Nodeya. What did they call in the old days? A fountain pen. It's not the old days, they come back to fountain pen way. An eight Nodeya. Because the ink flows. It's not a ballpoint pen where the ink is not flowing. So he says, Yabiyu, they flow with words against God and against man. Yitabru akak. They speak all sorts of difficult things. They say things that are bad. Yit'amru kol polayoven. All those who commit evil, yit'amru is a word that means they glorify themselves, is a very good description. They glorify themselves. By the way, did you notice the two words now? Polayoven. How many times have we had polayoven? We had it, remember, we had it before in chapter in chapter 92, we had it twice. B'tzorach l'shoyim k'mo esed, b'yotzitzu kol po'al ha'yoven. And then we have it, ki hinei evecha Hashem, ki hinei evecha yovedu yitpordu kol po'al ha'yoven. Kol po'al ha'yoven. We have it again. When you have similar words in chapters one after another, this is the external indication that the chapters are related. And do you know what the subject is that relates them to one another? We're talking about those who do evil. We're not talking over here about those who think evil, or those who merely express evil, or those who philosophize evil or justify evil. We're talking about evil that is being done in action.
Totally love it. But what should we call them?
What?
Evildoers.
He calls them evildoers? That's precisely Torale Oven. That's precisely Torale Oven. Ancho Hashem Yedaku. They crush your people, God. It's your people. Ancho Hashem. Your people, God. Yedaku, they crush them. The Nachalatcha Ya'anu. And they afflict Nachalatcha. What is Nachalatcha? What did you say? Heritage? Huh? Eretz Yisrael. How did you know? Eretz Yisrael. Nachalatcha. You know, we had it. We had it. You know, when I forget the passage, that upsets me a lot. No. Yeah, I know. At the end of the shiur, when I go home, I'll say, of course, that was the passage that I wanted. Nachalatcha is used in a number of places together with Ancha. And we're suddenly looking straight at it, and it just. Alright, okay, I'll find it. They kill the widow and the. Lo yitosh Hashem, lo yitosh Hashem aru v'nachalato lo yazor. That's one. Excellent. Wait a minute. Ki lo yitosh Hashem aru v'nachalato lo yazor. There's more. There's one that we just had. The Nachlos Yanu. That's the one that I wanted. Ha'azinu. Ki chilek Hashem amo Yaakov chedel nachlato. That's in Hazinu. Your people. Urein v'natein ad olam. Amcha v'nachaloscha ve'evei tuvecha. Your people and your inheritance, they hunger for your good. And because the people Nachalosa is Eretz Yisrael, and here it is, the enemy, the Rishoyim. And because the Yitzaku ben Nachalosa, Yanu al Mama beger Yaharogu v'yatomim yatzeichu. This is a passage that describes the horror of evil. The widow and the stranger they kill, and the orphan they murder. What's described by this is the idea they go after the weak. They go after the weak. They're helpless because they think that the weak are weak and the weak are helpless. They go after the weak. We once talked about this on the Pasuk in Mishpatim, where the Pasuk says, do not cause pain or suffering to Almona, to Ger, and to Yotam, because ki in tzaok yitzok elai, because if he cries out unto me, shamoa eshmatza akato, God says, I will hear his cry. And then comes the terrible clamor where God says, your wives will be Almanot, and your children are going to be Yitamim. And there's an amazing Ramban there, where the Ramban says that evildoers go after the weak, because they think the weak are weak. But what they don't understand is the weak are more powerful than anybody else, because God ultimately stands on the side of the weak. Vayomru, yes?
Going after the weak was a perfect description of
Amalek. Vayizame b'kor kol hanech shalom. It was a sneak attack, unexpected, and he went after the stragglers. That's right, that's Amalek. Yes?
Why did you use the word Yadro?
Okay, let's hear.
The commentary to be like a stem explains the difference between slaves, the rogue, and Rentak murder. The widow and the stranger who are mature adults have the strength to resist their attackers unless the ambush is slain in a concealed place where they can be taken by surprise and the crime can be undetected. But the weak and immature orphan is helpless and can be murdered openly with no difficulty.
Do you hear that? Good. Yes, Katie, you look upset.
You said people do it.
Yes.
I've done an action. I thought you said.
Polalei oven. Polalei oven describes a person whose thought and his speech he has turned into deed. That's what the words parley often describe. All evil or all good begins with a thought, from a thought, machshava, dibur, and then maaseh. Parley often describes the end of the process of evil. It started as a thought, it may very well have been expressed in words, and then ultimately it's done. That's what I was saying. I was not saying that words can't kill. Words are evil too. Well, we've learned that words can kill. You know? And if we ever forget it, there's always somebody around here that will remind us. Yeah. We know that. But we're talking about, there is a step. There is a final step where evil is translated into action. By Yomru, and they said, Lo, and they said, here's another example of where a past tense is really representing an ongoing process. By Yomru, they said, Lo yireh yah, God can't see. V'lo yavin hey Yaakov, the God of Yaakov does not understand. And here the Navi becomes upset and says, Binu do'adim ba'om, you boors, those who don't know, understand. Uchsilin masai kaskinu, and those who are fools, masai kaskinu. By the way, what does this pasuk immediately associate in your mind? What? In this Mishnah Yom Hashabbos, Ish Dal Lo Yeda Uchsil Lo Yavin Etzot. Here's another connection. What is it that Ish? What did he say in this Mishnah Yom Hashabbos? Ish Dal, the unintelligent person Lo Yeda. Ish Dal Lo Yeda Uchsil Lo Yavin Etzot. All right. And what do we say over here? The same too. Bino bar in bomb. Understand this. Uchsilin martai taskilu. Those who remember, we said Ksil is not a fool. The Ksil is a very intelligent fellow, but he is the slave of his passions. Martai taskilu means not only when will you be intelligent. Taskilu means when will you succeed in what you're doing. The only way that you will ever succeed in what you're doing is if you can free yourselves of the passions that bind you. What an amazing pasuk. Hanota ozen halo yishma. What do you mean God doesn't hear? Hanota ozen, the one who made the ear, who planted it in man, the one who created the ability to hear, halo yishma. Of course he can hear. In Yotzer Ayin, the one who formed the eye, halo yabit, of course he can see. What are you saying? What did they say in Pasuk 7? Lo yina yotah doesn't see. Lo yavin alahe Yaakov, the God of Yaakov doesn't understand. Fools! Hayosef goyim halo yochiyah, the one who punishes nations, halo yochiyah, he admonishes them. He is the one hamalamed odom dad, God is the one who teaches man knowledge, gives man knowledge. And now he goes one step further. We've been talking, you know, Katie, you've given me the key to this. We talked about Paraleyotem. We talked about those who do evil. We talked about those who speak evil. Yabiu, Yadamu, Asa. And not only that, the Moshe Rabbeinu of David has told us what are the evil words. Lo yina yod, God doesn't see. Lo yavin alekei Yaakov, he doesn't understand. And yet, so you know what he's telling you now? Not only does God hear what you're saying, not only does he know what you're doing, but Hashem yodea machshivot adam. God knows the thoughts of man. And you know what he knows about the thoughts, the evil thoughts of men? Ki hema havel. They're zero. They're nothing. Ashrei hagever, fortunate is the man, asher tiasrem uyor, fortunate is the man that God admonishes, that God teaches. Umi toracha, from your Torah, tilamdenu. Teach us from your Torah so that we should know what is the truth. And do you know what happens when you teach us? Lahashkit lo miyamei ra. Lahashkit lo, sometimes, I think it's often, there's a sense of turmoil inside of us. We're aggravated, we're agitated, we're tense, there's so much happening. Another pigua, never this happened, never that happened. We don't have peace, we don't have menuchas hanefesh. If you start teaching us lahashkit lo, it will give us sheket miyamei ra, from the days of evil. And we will be able to survive emotionally ad yikore la rosha shachat, until the grave will be dug for the evil. We need something to keep us going. We have no guarantee that that evil is going to be eradicated now, immediately, decisively. What we need is something that is going to be mashkit. Give us a little sheket from the days that are full of evil until the grave of the evil will be dug. By the way, there's another thing over here. Implied in this is that quite often the evil dig their own graves.
Adikore Rosha can also be read and understood until the Rosha digs his grave. And his grave is Shachat. Shachat is one of the words by which we describe Gehenim, or the very nether depths of the world. Kilo Yitoi, here's what I was looking for, the prophet. Didn't I tell you the prophet is around the corner? Didn't I tell you? It's in the same chapter. Oh, I get upset. You know what this means? It means that I have to go home and read over the chapter. Ki lo yitosh Hashem, oh no, God is not going to forsake his people, the Nachalato, and his inheritance, his heritage, Eretz Yisrael. Lo yado, he's not going to leave. He's not going to leave us hefka in the hands of the enemies. Ki ab tzedek yoshuv mishpat. There's a time that Mishpat is going to return and become Mishpat. Mishpat is justice. But you know, justice isn't always just. Injustice as a means to justice renders justice unjust. You're looking at me. Wasn't that a great line? I once used to like that line. I'll say it again. Injustice as a means to justice renders justice unjust. I even once liked the person who said it, but I don't like him anymore. It was said by Martin Buber. And then, of course, I read Yoram Chazon's book on the Jewish state, and I found out that one of the people who was most vocally and violently opposed to the establishment of the state was none other than Martin Buber, and all of his Talmidim and his Talmidim are the extreme left in Eretz Yisrael today. So he was injustice, and that renders him unjust. So Mishpat needs Tzedek as well, because there can be Mishpat. You can have a high court that renders Mishpat, but it's not necessarily Mishpat Tzedek. What you need is Tzedek, to put Tzedek back into Mishpat. Ki ad Tzedek, 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 Shoftim v'Shoftim titein l'chol b'chol sha'arecha. You need Shoftim and Shoftim, but the Shoftim have to be those who pursue justice. Tzedek, Tzedek, or righteousness. Ki ad Tzedek yoshev Mishpat v'acharav. And who will follow, who will return? Kol Yishrei Lev. I had a feeling when it means like this, that when people will see that there's truly justice, and when people see that evil is being eradicated, they're going to return to God too. But the only one that's going to return is a person who's really a Yashar Lev. His heart is straight, but he's been confused by history, he's been confused by events. He may have been confused by personal problems that he suffered at the hands of evil. But when they see Tzedek goes back, Mishpat becomes Tzedek, then Yishrei Lev are going to return to God. And this is an idea that appears in the Nevi'im as well. Habakkuk is the one that says it, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You have no idea how harmful the existence of evil in the world is, harmful to faith. And the only one who can exist is Tzadik Be'emunato Yichya, a Tzadik who lives with his faith, because it's very difficult to have faith when one is surrounded by so much evil and watches as evil prospers. That's why in Mizmashim Yom HaShabbos, Moshe says, "Bifroach Rishoyim, they blossom forth, but you should know it's Kemo Esav, it's like grass. And it will ultimately die and wither and die. But the tzaddik, katomar yifrach, ke'erez balvanam yizgeh." The tzaddik is like the date, the palm tree, and like the cedar of Lebanon. Mi yakum li yimereim, mi yatsev li im, for the fourth time, palale yavim. Mi yakum li yimereim means, who's going to stand by me against the evil? Mi yatsev li, who's going to stand firmly with me against palale yavim? Lule Hashem Ezratali, I'm going to make it to the end. Or I may not make it to the end. Lule Hashem Ezratali, if not for the fact that God helped me, kim'at, in a brief period of time, shokma duma nafshi, my soul would have dwelt in silence. I would have been destroyed if not for the fact that God was there. Imamarti Motaradli. Here Moshe is beginning to talk in first person, he's speaking to God. Imamarti, when I thought to myself, Motaradli, my feet are falling, I'm slipping, I'm being taken down. Your kindness, O God, supported me. Good word, Sarapai. Sarapai means my thoughts. With all the many thoughts that are in me, and there's a whole confusion, there's a whole cacophony of thoughts, there's so much difficulty. Tanchumecha, your consolation, Yesha'ashu'u Nashi, gives my soul joy. Ephraim, we say it in the davening on Rosh Hashanah, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ephraim is Yeled Sha'ashuim, the child of God's delight, joy. We're singing today. Lulei Seyoscha Sha'ashuai. Lul, if Torah would not have been Sha'ashuai, my joy. So there he says, Tanhumecha, your Nechama, your consolation. On Tanhumecha? On Tanhumecha? That's interesting. What does he. I think that that's more. He's going one step further. He's already saying the pshat. The consolation is your promise. That's what the Mepharshim say. In other words, your words, where you promise me that evil is going to be destroyed, that gives joy. So they're taking the translation one step further. This is too much. I'm sorry. This I'm going to need a little bit more time. So we as Hashem, I hope next week we'll finish. You should know these three chapters. Go over these three chapters at home. And then we will take the general idea and expand on the meaning of Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShavuot. Okay. I'm beginning to like this.